about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour. I had a guest scheduled for tonight, Mr. Michael Anthony. Have not been able to make contact with him. Don't know what the problem is, but the show must go on. And so I will maybe later entertain some calls from the listeners. Got a few things I want to share with you. As you know, I've been very busy writing part 7 of the Three Stooges Go to Washington, and that part is complete and should be published, or at least part of it published in the Idaho Observer this month. So, and that's in a very short time. Getting very close to the press deadline. I want to just put a time date stamp on this, I should say. July the 16th on the West Coast, July the 17th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. This show is being heard around the world thanks to my good friend Drew Raines and his many friends around the planet, particularly those who are carrying the show on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio. Lots and lots of new listeners. We're excited about that. I welcome everyone in the U.S. military who may be listening in on this show, as well as those in the intelligence agencies. We don't want to forget about you. We know you work hard, too. Well, what is Part 7 about? Well, it's a very different story from the ones you're hearing in the mainstream media, that's for sure. Let's make no mistake about that. And if you've read any of parts 1 through 6 of this serial article, most of which has been published in the Idaho Observer, with the exception of the photographs, which are in color, and those are actually very relevant when you see these photos in color compared to what shows up in black and white. There are anomalies in these photos, and I have taken the liberty to reveal them by altering the contrast of the photo, revealing legs, arms, hands, body parts that don't belong in the pictures. That's difficult for people to grasp because in under normal circumstances, none of us would take pictures like that. Some people go to these carnivals and amusement parks that usually have a booth these days where they take your picture, and you get to have a little bit of fun and dress up in maybe some pioneer's clothing, or dress up as an action hero or a movie star, and they can make you up a little bit to look like that person. Certainly make you look different than you look. But you know going in that you are pretending to be somebody that you're not, and it's a gag item. It's something to hold as a souvenir of a day of fun in that amusement park or at that carnival, and no one takes it seriously. Now, on the other hand, when a person is running for a political office representing themselves in a pictorial fashion, in the form of a photograph, which is supposed to represent an actual historical event, an event that that alludes to them being in a certain place at a certain time, doing a certain thing, and it's been what we call photoshopped. In other words, when it's been created as a fraudulent representation of who that person really is, who they really are, who they were, it opens up a whole new myriad of questions. Why is this done? who did it, and what is being attempted in the doing of that act, in the creation of that false document. Now, it's no mystery to anyone who has been on the internet that there is a dispute which has been going on for quite some time in regard to the identity of Barack Obama Jr., a.k.a. Barry Satoru, and the many aliases he has. This has come out on the internet, the many aliases, the many real estate properties under his name, the many social security numbers that are representative of another person, as if it was not him. And I published that research in several of my Three Stooges series, and it's been picked up by Dr. Orly Tates in her lawsuit to get some court anywhere in the country to acknowledge the fact that that the documentation is not legitimate, and that this person who is sitting in the Oval Office in Washington, D.C., is not who he claims to be. Now, I get mixed feelings about this lawsuit on the basis of Dr. Tate's refusal to look at the research that I've done and the evidence that I have brought forward. I sent her pictures three times, and she claims she didn't get them. Well, that is very possible that they were intercepted and she didn't get them. I invited her to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, click on articles, and take her pick which articles she'd like to read. Many of those articles have pictures, and many of the articles, a couple of the articles, have analyzed the photos, which I have again done in Part 7, because it's very crucial to answering some questions that are not going to be answered by the media, and they're not going to be answered by the administration, who takes credit for putting the fraudulent birth certificate on the internet. Although they don't call it fraudulent, it is fraudulent. It is null and void because it's been altered. Not only has it been altered, the way it was produced is absolutely ridiculous. And it's because you can't take a real document and transfer new information into the space without altering the document. So the background disappears, or the background has to be recreated. And in other words, Photoshop doesn't lend itself well to taking an official document and changing that document. Photoshop has to create a new document from whatever you will extract from the original. And so every time you change something, you are creating a fraudulent document. When you compile photos from an assortment of images, and I can say most of us think of an image as a person. You know, it's like Fred, Bob, and Bill in the photograph, okay? If you take someone else's head, let's say the garbage man's head, and attach it to Fred's body, you take a bartender in the nightclub and attach it to Bob's head, and you take a politician's head and attach it to Bill's head, well, now Fred, Bob, and Bill are not the original people they were. And it doesn't matter what they did or who they were in the beginning. When you put someone else's head on top of a body, which you can do with Photoshop, then you actually have entered the area of fraud. Okay? When you're representing that these people are real, when these people are supposed to be having done something at the time this photograph was taken. Let's say, for example, the photograph was taken at a crime scene while a bank was being robbed, and someone photoshopped your face onto the body, and this is done all the time, I'm sure. They can even do this with video. So, you end up with the wrong person being charged for a crime they didn't commit. Now, in the case of someone who is being touted as being legitimate, and the photographs are artificial or fraudulent or a hoax, then there should be consequences for that. within reason, why is the media ignoring this? Are they that stupid that they can't see that that photos have been doctored? I mean, they have millions of dollars of equipment to do that. Well, of course, I'm asking a rhetorical question that I already know the answer to. The media has been bribed. They have been told they will push propaganda, and that's it. So that's what they do. And the dumbed-down masses accept everything they say is the truth. That's what these people are relying upon, is that the complicit media, which is owned by probably just five families, five very wealthy but very corrupt families that have invested in the media for the purpose of controlling it for the very reasons I'm describing right now. Those five families control the media. They control the government. They control the politicians. They control the laws that are created. And when it's done under fraudulent circumstances, none of those laws are valid. Now, what I find, even though my argument is quite unique, and I have to base what I say and what I write on what I find, and when the normal means of doing genealogical research make absolutely no sense, when someone is touted as being the president of a bank or the vice president of the bank, and they were born on a farm in such and such a town, in such and such a state, and you find that the town doesn't exist, or it didn't exist at the time that they claimed they were born in that town, or when all these people who arrive at some pinnacle of success in a political career, and you cannot trace their family like you or I or most of us could. I mean, we know who our parents are, we know who our grandparents are, we know who our great grandparents are. That is, if we weren't born as orphans, or placed into some guardianship after our birth, we may have a recollection of who our parents are, and some of us are even conscious that the people that we thought were our parents are not, that they've been guardians, or they adopted us, or, you know, there are all kinds of situations. But when you get to these elites, these people who are all related to each other, certainly in their story, if their stories are true, we should be able to follow that genealogy and make sense out of it. But I tell you, the listening audience, that's the opposite of what's really happening. You see, those that would lie to you have no reason to present the truth to you because they cannot. It exposes the lies. And vice versa. If they make lies as claims and the photographic evidence doesn't match up to it, and it's impossible really to create a photograph of something that didn't exist, then the problem that you have with that is that you have to use some common sense. You've got to use common sense somewhere along the line and say to yourself, well, if this is the reality here, why can't I find a true story or evidence, facts that support that these people were born in this city and they say they went to this school? Why is it when I go to the school to see if they've been there, that school never existed or they weren't there, or that school mysteriously suffered a catastrophic fire and all the records were burned? You see, those things keep going on. They keep going on over and over and over in the histories and the genealogies of these politicians. And no one is, I say no one, I say the mass of people are ignorant of the fact that this is going on. And those that do realize that the research that I've been doing is very accurate, they can't understand why the media won't do anything. Somehow they can't grasp the concept that the media is a propaganda tool. And that's all it is. They're into making money to line their pockets, and they are bribed to continue this mantra of deceit. And it's very treasonous. Those that are committing these acts in politics are treasonous, and those that are complicit or aiding and abetting them. That is the definition of a conspiracy. These people in the media, well, they'll try to debunk the reality of that, the truth of that, and call it conspiracy theory. This is a new word, by the way, that didn't come out until 9/11. They never used the word conspiracy and the word theory together. Science uses theories all the time. They don't mock their theories, but many times the theories are totally wrong. And the hypotheses are wrong. Even when they know the truth, often, they put out these stories to keep people from finding it, to discredit scientific discoveries. Because if at all possible, they'll turn technological developments into weapons of war, a means of subjugating the masses, brainwashing the masses, torturing the masses, harassing the masses, or even killing the masses. And that's an observation I'm making. Whether you want to agree with that or not, you've all seen chemtrails, certainly. It's a phenomenon that began occurring around the mid-1990s. What has changed about airplanes and jets that's any different from in 1990, that all of a sudden we have these lines and designs in the sky? And people are, which are causing people to get sick. I mean, think about this. Are we that ignorant or that unaware of what goes on around us? So, you know, with this in mind, this general theme in mind, my involvement in this research has to do with the fact that I see something totally different from what's being described. And, from the day I heard the name Barack Obama, something deep down in my soul told me there was something terribly wrong. That this individual that no one had ever heard of on a nationwide basis all of a sudden was catapulted into politics, national politics, and first attempt makes it into the U.S. Senate, and first attempt makes it into the presidency of the United States. And I didn't see the evidence in the votes. And I didn't see any accomplishments that warranted him being there. And so I became very curious in finding the truth. And the only place one can start is with the information that is provided to the public. Normally people say, well, you know, that's the biography, the biographical background of the individual, or when the individual writes it, then it becomes the autobiography. Or in Obama's case, he had someone else write the book and then was given attribution as the actual self, or the autobiographer, meaning he wrote his own book, even though five separate analysts, and these are companies that forensically examined documents, came up with the conclusion that Barack Obama's book had likely been written based on the syntax, the language, the writing style, punctuation, the use of the language, had been written by William Ayers, who is known as the Weather Underground terrorist. And there's a connection. So it happens Ayers is in Chicago, and his accomplice, Bernadine Dorn, was in Chicago working for Sidley Austin Law Firm and is now teaching at Northwestern University. Why is the number one terrorist, the number one enemy, public enemy number one of the FBI, teaching at a law school or somewhere within Northwestern? I think it has to do with law. But no one seems to be able to connect these dots. And then we're told this story that Barack Obama met Michelle LaVon Robinson when he went to work for Sidley Austin. Actually, she was his handler. Okay, those of you who understand intel lingo know that a handler is someone who handles another person in terms of keeping them along a certain path. which often involves mind control, surveillance, and when I say mind control, you're talking about the breaking down of a person's psyche into fragments and rebuilding it based on codes. It's a very, we could do a whole show on mind control, and I won't do that now other than just to allude to it, but basically what is professed to have occurred, what is alleged to have occurred, is that he was being trained into the system at Sidley Austin, which is quite interesting, because according to two guests that I've had on the show, David Hawkins and Field McConnell, forensic economists, they've tracked to all these plane crashes that are occurring around the planet to Sidley Austin as part of their tontine scams, where they take out certain individuals on planes who are enemies to their cause, and they rake in a bunch of insurance money through Equitable Life. And they use this black box technology, which interestingly enough is also used in other aspects of the financial industry. In nanoseconds, they can move huge sums of money to different parts of the planet. And someone who's not familiar with these activities has trouble tracing these funds. So they can steal trillions of dollars. And I've been reporting that for 3 years and on my show for two. And now there are other economists and people in the financial community that are acknowledging that. I'm not the first and I won't be the last. But I can tell you what the press, again, the propaganda media, is telling you is a totally different story. The reason why the housing economy has failed. I mean, you know, they blamed it on all these people that couldn't afford homes, yet you have millions of illegal aliens that came into this country. Probably 40 million, if not more. 40 million. Think about that. That's larger than many countries. 40 million people. And these people were given homes, they were given money, they were given benefits, your Social Security benefits that you've been paying for years, your health benefits. You're being taxed to pay for people that have no business being in the country because they came in illegally. Not like our forefathers, not like our ancestors came here, where they went through the requirements. Being here for 10 years, taking a civil service examination, being questioned by a judge or a magistrate in charge of naturalizing you as a citizen. Now, that's quite a bit different to become a naturalized citizen than it is to be a natural-born citizen, which Obama is claiming through this ruse of the Hawaii and Kenyan argument. But that, as I've written in the article, is a smokescreen. It's misdirection. It's not the reality. Oh, you know, I can hear you thinking, oh, but I voted for him. I mean, he's going to give us change. I mean, he's such a nice guy. He's so likable. What makes him a nice guy? Tell me. What makes him a nice guy? What makes him likable? The fact that he can only speak in public when he's staring at a teleprompter? Does that make him likable? And he sounds even robotic while he's reading a teleprompter. He talks down to you as if he was trained to talk down to you. And I hope I don't sound like I'm talking down to anyone other than those that are listening that know that they played a role in this deception. Because not everyone in this country is stupid or brainwashed or under your mind control, to the extent that you wish they were. Not everyone. And there are millions of people waking up every day because they know God, they know His Son Jesus Christ, and they know the power that they have within them. And it scares the hell out of you. And it really throws a wrench in your diabolical schemes to frighten people over a phony war on terror, a phony war on drugs, a phony war on poverty. on and on and on. And it's worked for you before, and you think that if you just keep doing it, people won't notice. Well, I go back to these phony photographs that I've been analyzing, and it became so evident to me that this was fraudulent that I actually began analyzing other photographs that I felt had something to do with this case, with this whole issue, I should say. And there are people in the military who are courageously stepping forward saying, sir, no, sir, I will not go fight a war that's being fought under the auspice of a lie or the pretext of a lie in many ways, not just based on this false proclamation that democracy is being spread, because if that's what's being spread, then you're talking, it equates to death. Democracy means death, because that's what the Iraqis have gotten. That's what the Afghanis have gotten. Death. And who are these charlatans in government, and not just this administration? I go into the Bush administration, the Clinton administration, and the prior Bush 41 administration. I already did the genealogy on George H. Scherf, not Bush, Scherf. I did that genealogy, and that was verified. The CIA knows that. Call up Leon Panetta. Ask him. He knows that. You could call up Porter Goss if you could find his number. He knows that, too. And anyone that ran the CIA, including George Bush himself. George W. Bush has admitted it. This is original research. But you see, from the time I came on the air, I told my listening audience, as I'm telling you now, that I will tell you the truth. I will show you the truth. As we together discover the truth, we'll talk about it. We'll learn from it. We'll grow. And it's time for this planet and its enslavement policies, its oppression on humanity and on nature and on the planet itself to end. It's time. These people would just as soon bring the whole planet down just to save their own rear ends or to escape punishment by those who they've punished throughout history for thousands of years. The history we're given is amazing. You know, it's like the days of the Egyptian pharaohs was the only time that history was recorded, and anything that happened prior to that, well, it just didn't happen. Somewhere along the lines, flowers and trees started growing, and then a Cro-Magnon man popped his head out of the soil and just started walking around carrying a club and just surviving for a certain amount of time and then disappearing. Or Neanderthal man. I mean, we're giving these, or Zinjanthropus man, I remember. That this was the discovery of Dr. Leakey in the deep, dark jungles of Africa that we're taught about in school. They put our minds on everything except the reality of life, why we're here, And the potential that we have to do really great things, to create. No, it's about garnering money and power, and the power is over others. And it's all an illusion. It's all based on an illusion. So when that system is illusory, what is the newcomer to the table going to be? An illusion. It follows. And so we shouldn't be surprised that Barack Obama is not who he says he is, despite what the media is talking about, because if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you know my thoughts about the media. You know how the media lies. And you may have experienced it yourself. You've yet to hear the honest explanation for why the economy is failing, yet night after night on this show, Monday through Friday, or Tuesday through Saturday, depending on where you are on the planet, I am sharing with you sometimes great details about the level of financial corruption going on, amounts of money, who's doing it, when it's done, how it's done, and why it's being done. And then they have to get new money, so what do? They create money out of thin air, give it to themselves, and tell us that we have to pay it back because they're trying to cover up their corruption. Think about that. Really think about that. Does it make any sense? Does it make any sense why you or I or any of us should pay for a failed bank or a failed finance company or a failed mortgage company or a failed realty company, a failed holding company, insurance company, failed stock brokerage firms? These brokerage houses are involved in the corruption. They know all about it. They're the ones orchestrating it. And this is just more money we're giving to them. You see, they think we're that stupid that we just lie down and take it. And most people are. They're right in that sense because they've got everybody brainwashed. Got your attention focused on meaningless things. The boob tube being the biggest example. Calling it reality. Everything is a reality show. Boy, do we have the reality news? They haven't started calling it yet, but I can tell you what they report on the news has nothing to do with the truth about what's going on in the world. So don't expect to hear the truth from the media. Now, it's a lot of people that's like, well, how are you going to get the message out? How are you going to tell people the truth? I'm writing the truth. I'm writing it. I'm doing research, and it's very difficult research because unlike what we've been taught in school, and, you know, they teach genealogists how to do research. This is what cracks me up because all they do is follow the trails that they've created for each other or someone has created for all of them. And I don't mean through a normal process. These are artificial trails to lead you down the wrong path. You know, so-and-so was married to so-and-so, and she was from so-and-so place, and on such-and-such a date, or about such-and-such a date, this occurred. And that establishes their genealogy. Now, what's interesting is if anyone wanted to do a DNA test on Barack Obama, think about this. He couldn't find, based on the story about the Dunham family, you couldn't find a way to test that. Okay? But you could. You could. And I'm speaking about a very unusual circumstance because how are we going to trust them to do that? We have to be able to get somebody who's under the public's scrutiny to do a DNA test, but I tell you, you compare his DNA to this so-called Obama clan in Kenya, and it's going to come up 0%. I guarantee you that. And there probably is a way, based on my research, there is a way to do some testing on the so-called Dunham side of the family. And I propose to you also that if you did a similar test with his so-called stepsister, that you would arrive at the same conclusion, that there's zero match. Because what supports that are falsified documents, falsified photographs, and just a totally fabricated fairy tale. And I have uncovered at great length and under tremendous, tremendous odds of finding it, I've uncovered little needles in the haystack, again, that not only support my prior research, but arrive at conclusions. And my previous writing actually is supported by what I found. Now, anyone can say, well, they can just make up a story to support what they've said, and that makes it true. No, these are new pieces of information. New documents, new photographs, new analysis, and some original research in areas where I felt that I would be able to find the reasons for certain names being used or the means through which these connections were established, because they're not legitimate and they have nothing to do with what you've been told. In Barack Obama's autobiography, whether it was written by him or it was written by William Ayers or it was written by Captain Kangaroo. And I'm sure some of you out there remember Captain Kangaroo. It doesn't matter who wrote those stories. They're lies. Absolute lies from one end to the other. There are so many coincidences. There are some coincidences in the name of the school that Obama allegedly attended in Southern California that'll blow your mind. And that same coincidence, and I'm not going to go into this now. I prefer to read or have you read the article in its entirety and study the article in its entirety so that you can see how difficult it must have been to find these facts. But when you see them all sewn together, when you see the dots connected together, it makes sense. It makes more sense than anything being touted by the media. Now, we've got a caller here, and I'm going to invite this caller on to Evident Footprints. Is that you, Ron, in Pennsylvania?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the show, sir. I'm doing great. How are you? I haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah, I've been some priorities, some shifting around of a few things and getting behind and some of the stuff I got to do for some people, but I'll pick back up on that. Relative to Mr. Obama, who, as far as I'm concerned, is not the President of the United States, you might be aware of the article that was in a Ghana newspaper a couple of days ago when he and his wife went over there, and I have a copy of it here. It was on the Internet, and it is stated in that paper in the Modern Ghana News. Now, he apparently went over there. They published this a couple of days before Friday, July the 10th, And he was going over there to announce his policy for Africa and all that sort of stuff. Now, the quote in the paper said, "For Ghana, Obama's visit will be a celebration of another milestone in African history as it hosts the first ever African-American president on this presidential visit to the continent of his birth." Now, going on further, there were...
that's interesting. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Well,
am I allowed to laugh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, on the original story, the commentary was on another website, and this paper came out of that. But going down, it says the WorldNet Daily is in possession of an affidavit submitted by this particular Reverend Kwili Shahubia, an Anabaptist minister in Kenya, who is the official Swahili translator for the Baptist Conference and so forth. Now, I have to jump back and forth here for a moment. It says that in his affidavit, Shahubia asserts, quote, "It is common knowledge throughout the Christian and Muslim communities in Kenya that Barack Hussein Obama Jr. was born in Mombasa, Kenya," unquote. Now, going down, it also states about U.S. Army Major Stephen Frederick Cook has refused to deploy to Afghanistan. I think you mentioned that the other day, and there's a lawsuit filed to that effect. But the other affidavit was signed by a Bishop Ron McCray, and I distantly know Mr. McCray. He lives in the next county over here. McCray used to be a Texas policeman down there years ago, and he, I guess, had a change of faith, and he came up here. And he's a pretty powerful guy. I'd hate to get crushed by him. But he went over to Africa, and he's ministering to those people over there, and apparently he's very warmly received. Now, they brought up a controversy about his titlement of bishop, and he was quoted in a speech, which I don't have in front of me, that he says, he never quoted himself, he never called himself a bishop, and he's not a bishop. Well, how that came to be, I think, you know how accurate our news service is and how kind they are to people. Well, some years ago, about 10 miles from here, we had there was an old closed-down building called the Casanova, and it was a stone barroom. It was kind of rural. Well, what it turned into, the queers bought the place and turned it into a den of iniquity, and you hated even to drive past the place with all the frolicking and everything else, and the people got really upset about it. Well, McCrae's group was out there picketing across the road, and they eventually drove them out, and they remembered that. So he carries this slander with him everywhere he goes. They try to malign him. But yeah, he was the second guy that signed the affidavit over there about Obama. And I just wish this all would go somewhere and get rid of this bum. I don't care what kind of a national or international embarrassment. This country's at the bottom of the pitch anyway as far as embarrassment. We can't get any worse of a reputation than we have. But get rid of the guy. Come clean. Just get the bum out. And I'd like to know the whole thing behind this, you know. Who fathered who got married, who brought him over, you know, all these little details would be really interesting.
Yes, but, Ron, if I can interject a comment just
sure.
to respond to what you're saying. Okay. This whole Ghana situation, and I even received an IM. I was going to respond kind of in the way that this IM is remarking that this Ghana speech, this scenario is laid out there to perpetuate the lie. You see, you have a Marxist dialectical argument going on between the Hawaii and the Kenya ruse. It's a ruse. If you've read my research, Ron, and studied the photographs, you can agree with me that those photographs of Barack Obama, whether at the Punahou School or whether Barack Obama Sr. is leaving the airport on a big send-off or whatever, these are fabrications in Photoshop, and they're actually very poor ones, considering the amount of money behind all of this. They're amateur. Go ahead.
Yeah, the photographs are strange. I did look at some of them, but not all. I have to get into them some more. But as you stated, the amount of money that someone has spent to perpetuate this guy is amazing. I mean, it had to be a stupendous amount that we'll never know the amount. And it's just like it's a maniacal drive to get a fake in there and an insult and a slap in the face of the United States to just put anybody in that they want. It's laughable. It's like they're just spitting in people's faces and then hysterical with laughter about it.
Yeah. Let me ask you a rhetorical question.
Yes.
You would probably agree that the Rothschilds were the ones behind the creation of the Federal Reserve Act, would you not?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. All right. If I could show you that someone came into the country and did something similar in Hawaii the same year that Paul Warburg came to the United States illegally, and I'm not speaking about 1913 or 1910. I'm speaking about 1903. Would you say that I found a needle in a haystack?
You could have, yeah. 1903 is a date that rings in my mind, but I'm not quite clear on it. But it's an obscure date, and it's not well known.
Well, it's the date that the Bank of Hawaii was created, which happens to fall on the same date that I found Paul Warburg sneaking into the country at Ellis Island, claiming that he was a U.S. citizen. Even though he wasn't, number one, and he was a banker, and he gave out an address in New York. Now, one of the agents for this Rothschild monster were the Rockefellers. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. The Rockefellers are involved with the Dunhams at every corner, and I'm telling you, I prove unequivocally in this article that where the Dunham name came from and that they were not the Dunhams. Will that surprise you?
Nothing surprises me anymore, I'll tell you.
Okay. All right. Now, I can connect them to the Rockefellers at every stage of this ruse. Every single one, including now.
Okay? Well, Warburg's are one of the eight banks that is a member of the Federal Reserve System.
Well, yes, but they were agents. You know, Paul Warburg was managing the Paris and the London branches of the Rothschild banks, And Max and Felix were in Hamburg and Holland managing the branches over there. And that
and
those
were
used.
Chartered.
Yeah,
they were chartered. The bank.
Yes, they were siphoning money from our economy and to finance the war through IG Farben and other corporations. Thyssen was another one in Germany to finance World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will show in this article a direct link to the Madrid Circular that Christopher Story and I have both written about. This is the document that said, "Für uns die Krieg ist niemals vorbei." For us, the war is never over. Talking about the establishment of the Fourth Reich in America, which was also written about in 1953 by T.H. Teetens in his book, "Germany Plots with the Kremlin," warning our government that this was about to occur. What we're facing today was predicted in 1953 by Teetens, and they found the document making this declaration in 1950. You will be amazed that in 1950, I found the Dunhams on a ship as spies being sent to Australia. Okay, and I can reference this off of a porn picture of the alleged Stanley Ann Dunham.
Yeah, I'm going to go into the website now at the time, and I'm going to download the whole thing and study it, because there are some things in there that I want to piece together myself as well for this whole thing. Rockefellers were involved with this probably since the 1800s. They always show up somewhere along the line, whether they employ these people, they tutor them, they school them, they raise them, they support them, they sire them, whatever they do, they're always there somewhere.
Yes. Yes. Now, you will learn some very interesting details about who founded the Bank of Hawaii and who founded some other schools in Hawaii, one being the Punahou School, where they claim he went. Now, if he went there, they would have legitimate photographs, would they not?
One would think so.
But they're all fraudulent. Why are they fraudulent? Why create a fraudulent photo if you have a real one?
Because you don't have a real one.
Yeah.
And
why?
You're relying on the stupidity of the American public of them to gloss over and say, well, I must lead a jet, there's the photo.
Yeah, well, you may have heard me in my monologue before you called in saying not all of us are stupid. Not all of us are blind. Okay?
Right.
And I can refer to the same thing and ask you, if there are legitimate documents, why not show them? Why show fraudulent ones?
That's right. If he had a legitimate birth certificate, and if I were in his position, say I was him, and, you know, this kept going against me, where's your birth certificate? I would wait until all of my detractors made fools out of themselves, and I'd be waving that birth certificate like a pennant at a football game.
Well,
and I would just slaughter them, because he doesn't have it.
But the Constitution requires, and the Federal Elections Commission, and under the jurisdiction of the two political parties, the Democratic National Committee and the Republican National Committee, he's obligated to provide all that information to them up front so that it can be presented to the voting constituents and, in this case, the delegates. The whole election was a fraud from top to bottom.
Oh, yeah, we saw that in national television. They proved that, and that Constitution is preemptive law. That's the first one. And every officer or soldier that will not serve is legally right. They don't have to take an order from a non-existent person.
Yes.
From somebody that has no legal standing.
You see, these people who are courageously stepping out and doing that are also being targeted.
I admire them for their fortitude, and it's about time the whole nation does that.
Yes. Now, I would tell you, Ron, that the information I'm bringing forth And the way I've connected the dots makes more sense than anything that you've been told. And there are some things that are rather nebulous still, but on the basis, you can't tell me there's anything that isn't nebulous about Barack Obama right now, about his phony documents, about why he's not showing us real documents, about the ruse of somebody in Hawaii, and every time it comes out, it's a different lie. You know, I proved this with John McCain, too. If you read my research on John McCain, he was born in a hospital that wasn't built until 7.5 years after he was born.
Uh-huh.
That in and of itself is stands on its own right there. You see, the whole thing is a lie.
That wipes everything out.
Yes, exactly. And now I have a multiplicity. You want to know where the Dunham name comes from? I show that. I show where the Dunham name comes from, and it's way beyond coincidental that these people, where the name comes from, happen to be where they are in this story. It's absurd. And you were going to see so many synchronicities, so many replicated stunts that they pull in falsifying birth records and birthplaces and dates and all of these things. Every single one of them has lost a spouse. Every single one of them moves a child at age 3, which we know these Illuminati's, what do you call them, devils do. You know, the fracturing of the human psyche from a baby for the first 18 months, torturing them, and then giving them love for 18 months, and then programming them. And if that's not programming, I don't know what it is. But from 3 years on, everything is programming codes to get them to behave a certain way, to get them to act a certain way under certain types of circumstances, and really pervert them. You wonder why they all...
That rings a bell. There was a woman on one of the programs some time ago that explained raising of the babies, as you had just mentioned. She went into that at some length, and I can't remember who that was, but she explained it. I don't know if she had first-hand knowledge of that or was there.
Was it Svali?
But she explained that exactly, and I can't remember who that was.
Was her name Svali?
It's possible. I can't recall. I don't have notes or anything right now.
Of course, we have Kathy O'Brien, Arizona Wilder, Susan Ford, who wrote the book Thanks for the Memories under the pen name of Bryce Taylor.
This woman may have worked for those people or is involved in some way with them under employment or in some way or another, whether it was a nurse or a secretary or an employee, directly close to these people. And that's how she observed how they were being raised. And then she eventually got on the Internet and explained all of this. I mean, it sounded really wild, but she says that's how they groom and raise these people. Now, during the first 5 or 10 minutes that Obama started yapping, I mean, I saw right through him. And there was a doctor that did a study of all of his bodily movements, his inflections, his words, timed with how he turned and moved and so forth. And he said that that man was trained to do that. And it was a form of
hypnosis.
It's
hypnosis. And you can gauge that from studying not just the syntax of the body, you know, the physical movements, but the speech patterns, the vocal inflections, and certainly watching him out of his element. In other words, you know, he's very good at following the way he was programmed to read a teleprompter, but you take him away from the teleprompter, and he has no clue as to how to handle a normal question. That was evidenced in one of these so-called town meetings where the guy in the gallery asked him a question about the Council on Foreign Relations, and he made this ridiculous statement. Well, it hasn't even been proven that the Council on Foreign Relations really exists, and I wouldn't know if I'm a member. You know, this idiotic
things
like that.
All you have to do is get a copy of the membership book. They'll send you one every year. I have one here somewhere. So
well,
he doesn't know it exists. Well,
one of his handlers is Henry Kissinger and Zbigniew Brzezinski. I mean, by deductive reasoning, you can presume that somebody that was trained by UNESCO or the UN or if he even attended Columbia University, Occidental University has a matriculation program to 10 of the Ivy League schools like Yale and Harvard and the Wharton School of Business. Why do they have that? And the UN. They put them in the Peace Corps out of Occidental University.
People feel that in this guy's formative years that he was trained in the art of BS like that by some masterful people, and this doctor spotted this. Now, it took quite some time. This this was actually a trained program that he went under in order to lure the people and sway them and propagandize them and so forth. But if you get him in a coffee shop with perhaps any ordinary person, myself or anybody else, we could just shred him to pieces. If he can't ad lib. He can't.
Oh, I know.
He does it by instruction. And
well, see, this character was created totally by the media, okay? And these assertions that he's related to Dick Cheney or through his wife or through his mother or his so-called grandmother or grandfather, that he's related, actually it's through the alleged grandmother, Madeline Lee Payne Dunham, that he's related to General Robert E. Lee. I mean, have you ever heard such bunk in your life? I suppose the next story he's gonna be the second cousin of Pee Wee Herman, and we're supposed to accept that.
Well, he does claim he's part Jewish, but I don't know. I mean, that's like saying, you know, every contractor, all houses that have bricks in their construction were built by the same guy. It just doesn't work that way.
Well,
now one thing that I noticed in a photograph, and he has one common trait with 42 of the last 44 presidents or something like that. He's left-handed. And the left-handed individual is the one sought after. That's one of the traits that they want in a president, and it goes along with this, to me, a bogus theory of the left-handed person has right-handed, right hemispherical thinking, and that's more in line with the political decisions and the world thinking and all this other kind of baloney. But if you've noticed that, almost all of the presidents have been left-handed.
Well, the logical side of the brain is the left side, and the right side of the brain would be the intuitive or the ethereal side, if you want to use that term, where the emotions and the feelings are analyzed and deduced. But you
I
see,
don't know
you're talking
controls the left-handed writer, though. I'm not sure on that.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think that just it's a matter of preference with people, because I know plenty of people that write left-handed that are quite normal, and they're balanced. Left-right
well,
brain thinking is...
Well, Obama's not one of them. That's out.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the major leagues seek a left-handed pitcher just because they're rarer than right-handed pitchers, and they present certain difficulties for left-handed hitters and right-handed hitters.
That's true, they do. I try to hit a ball from a left-handed pitcher. It is tougher. You have to get used to it.
Yeah,
you know,
but
he's very distracting.
No, there are many, many other things to take into consideration. But the underlying point that I'm making here, what I'm underscoring, is the relationship to the Rockefellers. Now, let's talk about just for a moment, if we can, eugenics. Who runs the foundations that were involved in studies for on eugenics, the development of a new human?
The Jews back it up with their foundations.
Well, the Rockefellers,
Zionists, yeah. The Rockefellers,
yeah. The Rockefellers, and that is the correct term. Really, these people are not Jewish; they're Zionists. Masquerading. I keep making that distinction here because I know many, many Jewish people that don't think anything like these people, and they certainly don't act like them. They don't do
the
things they do.
I have Jewish friends, they don't think that way at all. No way they do. But the Talmudic-believing Zionist is the danger. That's the problem. And out of one's religion comes one's politics. And Zionism is a political offshoot right out of the Talmud. And I've read a lot of pages of that Talmud, that turns your stomach. But it goes even far beyond that. I mean, it's the most cultish, filthy, evil following for any credo I've ever seen in my life. I mean, if that would be eliminated off the face of the earth, say, Monday morning, the world would breathe a sigh of relief. I mean, that's a virus and a cancer that's got to be gotten rid of. And it's not going to get any better until people wake up, read, and understand what that is. Because those people do things for a reason, whether it be sane or insane. Well, it's insane in their case. But the Talmud is a real document, there are real followers, and there is such a thing as Zionism. It came right out of the Talmud. I mean, look at the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just sounds, it's like a neon sign.
Well, these are the Kenites, okay? The Khazarians, the Mon, the Bon. These people go back in history thousands of years ago to the caves of Tibet, but these were not the Tibetan monks sitting on the Patola on the top of Lhasa, Tibet. These were a different breed altogether. And everywhere they went, whether it was Mongolia under Genghis Khan, they were removed. Even Hitler and the Nazis adopted the metaphysical teachings, the metaphysical rituals, and really it focused on black magic and Satanism of the sun. They named it after the son of Genghis Khan, sort of as a tribute to Genghis Khan, because they saw him as a powerful man. But Genghis Khan was not of the same ilk, and he kicked them out of Mongolia. They named their society the Tule Society. Genghis Khan had a son, Tule. Now, that's kind of interesting. But they also had the Vril Society, which dealt with the very, very outside esoteric stuff. You're talking about flying saucers, and the eugenics fell into that category. The experiments of Dr. Joseph Mengele, who came here to the States and was written about by many of these girls that you referenced a while ago. And were involved in the mind control and the perversions, because they were turned into sex slaves. They were called presidential models. They serviced presidents like Gerald Ford, George H.W. Bush, who I've identified as SHERF, Ronald Reagan, written extensively about it. Henry Kissinger would send Susan Ford into a room, and she said she was so programmed that she could hear the conversations of 100 different people going on in the room and recall everyone verbatim and take that information to Henry Kissinger. That's how serious the mind control is. And if you look at how people are reacting to what we're talking about, or just everyday things that those of us who are really looking, studying very hard, you see that the masses are controlled to a big extent, that people automatically go into denial and shut off, like somebody flipped the circuit breaker.
They're controlled to a great extent. To the greatest extent. Michael Hoffman, you might remember the name, author, is about an 1,100-page book I have here. He extensively gets into the Talmud and the history of it. And the migratory routes of the Talmudic-believing people were traced from day one, or from Earth. See, over in the old country, they keep records a lot longer than we do over here. We're a brand-new country, you know, by probably most standards. And the Europeans kicked them out of every place that they ever went for very good reason. And there's actual films on that, there's documents on that, it goes on and on. But people flatly refuse to believe that. Now, I took some papers months ago down to our local newspaper, and it covered, at the time, the first slaughter over there in Palestine. And it had some very, very graphic battlefield photos. And some of the girls didn't even want to look at it, but I told them, pass it around to the newsroom. I never got the papers back, and I never heard a peep out of it. And some of those people just bury their head in the sand. They don't want to have anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you show them actual graphics, but it was accompanied by two other writings, too. It was particularly potent the way that I organized it. And probably I want a list by now, but that's too bad. Hey, the pictures speak for themselves, and the quotes speak for themselves, and what happened, happened. Now, everything happens for a reason. And if you study history, you go back and you look, it all fits. It all fits. And the details that you've brought out is an enormous amount of research. I don't think I could get that amount of research done without my head splitting in half.
Well, the way you do it is you don't go to sleep and you don't eat. You just work. Okay.
Well, you need 32 hours a day. I'm trying to look for that. But something, and I'll conclude with this. I had mentioned this to Dr. K, and I'm going to start embarking on this. I had found out that my great-grandfather over in the old country had an enormous amount of property, and he owned some businesses over there. And he gave them to my grandfather when my grandfather was about 21 years old. And this was around the Bolshevik Revolution. They were stolen by the communists. The whole thing was stolen off of them. And I guess they gave my grandfather the choice, either leave the country or go before the firing squad, just like they did in the Hungarian uprising. Well, my grandfather left because my father, who passed away 2 years ago, was working, was born in 1915, and he was born over here. Well, as it turns out, a lot of the laws are the descendancy, the heirs, is from father to son, and then to that first son, to the first son, to the first son. It keeps going down that way. I might be the heir to a lot of stuff over in the old country. And this was admitted to in the 1950s or 60s by an embassy in New York City in one of the old countries. I won't go into too much detail. And they said, well, yeah, we took the property, it's that, but, well, we can't do anything about it. They admitted that they did steal it. Now, if certain groups in the world can get reparations for something that doesn't even exist, why can't I get reparations for something that does exist?
Mm-hmm.
So in going through the enormous records on the ship manifest in Ellis Island, of which they did have a big fire up there, as you might know, a lot of the records were burned, but there's a lot that weren't. But over in the old country, there's somebody in Amsterdam that's very interested in this, and I have to get back to them. I got an email on it, and maybe this is something that's going to take a lot of legwork, and there might be a lot of intrigue behind it. So if I get, if you don't hear from me for a while, it might be for two reasons. One is I'm busy, and two, I'm not around anymore. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to pursue this.
Well, if anything happens to you, let me know, okay? No, I'm just...
Well, from the beyond, I don't know if I can do that.
anything's possible. With God, all things are possible.
That's and, right.
I appreciate all this information. When you get around to, let's say, revealing your genealogy, please tell me it's not going to be that you're related to Dick Cheney, Celine Dion, Brad Pitt, or Colonel or General Robert E. Lee. Please tell me that.
I can guarantee you it's not in relation to any of the previously mentioned.
Okay.
I can promise you that. No.
All right.
It might be to the Tsar of Russia and might be to some other people over there.
Oh, so you might be, now, are you speaking about Tsar Nicholas, or?
Well, my grandfather's name was Alexander, and a lot of them were named after those people back in those days.
Huh. Well, this has been interesting, and I appreciate you calling in, and, you know, don't be such a stranger. I haven't heard from you a while, so.
Yeah, I got a lot of papers I have to send out to somebody and so forth, and I don't know. See, the borders over in the old country are all messed up over there. And if it is in Poland, I'm in luck. But if it's in Russia, my cousin a couple of years ago married a Russian doctor. She's over here practicing.
Mm-hmm.
And what she had to do is, if you leave the country, say you go get married or you take citizenship up, you have to forfeit your property. Now, she owned a condominium over there. She has a little bit of money. She signed everything over to her mother because once she leaves, she's not permitted to own property in the Soviet Union anymore. So that's how she did it. Her mother has it now.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's in Poland, now the borders must have changed every week up there at one time. And if I find out where it is, I first thing I got to do is find out where they were from. I know their names. Now, my surname and my grandfather's surname are not the same. And there's only three people that are alive that know the proper spelling and the other name. And I'm not telling anybody who they are.
Mm-hmm.
There's two other people that know, and I don't know where they are. I'm the only person that knows it.
Let me know if we can help you, because we have many, many friends listening to the show right now in Russia, and certainly we have several ways to get the information to somebody.
Yeah, I'm going to pursue this. I'm going to make some notes. I'm going to do this methodically, because if you do it helter-skelter, you really don't accomplish a lot. But I'm going to run this down, and I will get back to you eventually when something starts to pan out on this.
Okay, very good. Ron in Pennsylvania, thank you for calling Evident Footprints. It was a pleasure.
Take care, everyone.
Okay, take care. Well, folks, there you have it. There are people out there, good Americans, that are speaking with people in other parts of the world, too. It's not just here in America that we're paying attention to this, and certainly those around the world are concerned that many of us are asleep. I can agree with them, but as is usually the case when great strides are made in righting wrongs and arriving at the truth, it's always a handful of people historically that have really made the change, and not the change you were promised. In fact, you were promised change, and they left off a couple of words, like for the worse, change for the worse, chump change. That's a phrase that I like to use because it's amounting to that. And as long as we adhere to playing this psychological game, we are going to be moving down the wrong path. It's called spinning your wheels. When you're talking about progress, no traction, you're not going to get anywhere. And I wanted to share this. I'm hoping to have the article posted in its entirety tomorrow, time permitting. It will be. It is complete. It has been sent to the publishers at the Idaho Observer, my publishers and editors, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle, and they're going to evaluate the writing. I know they know what's in it already. It's just a matter of the dotting the I's and the punctuation and all that, and I'm pretty certain they're not going to argue with that. It's a massive piece of work, and it's definitely going to be a different slant than what you've heard, and very plausible. I can say that. It's time for me to say goodnight to my listening audience around the world. If you've been listening to us on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio networks, I thank you very much for your interest in this show and your interest in hearing the truth. I have Drew Raines to thank for introducing me to you folks by being on his show and having him on my show. And to all the U.S. military around the world, be safe and stay in God's hands. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Don Newsom did the sound tonight. Don, it was great. Thank you very much. And I want to thank everyone in the listening audience for tuning in. Join me again tomorrow when my special guest will be scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. In the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.